It's a Thursday Locked On Vols, and it's finally time to learn about the Jaguars of South Alabama. What makes them tick on offense? What about that good defense in the Sun Belt Conference? And then finally, Robert Boswell of the Walk-On Perspective joins the show. We got a fun Thursday lineup here on Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into a Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, and at Locked On Vols. 5 days a week, it's your daily Tennessee football podcast, completely free, available on all platforms. YouTube coming soon. Can't thank you enough for making Locked On Vols your first listen every single day. And as I said in the cold open, we got a fun lineup. But I thought today here on a Thursday, we can go ahead and learn about South Alabama. Do I think this will be a 30-plus point victory for Tennessee? Yes, I do. And I understand. We talked about this on the radio show on Wednesday. You can never just assume a victory, all right? You can never assume a victory because if Georgia State didn't teach us anything, right? But it's going to be a big victory for Tennessee, all right? I can assure you that. So I know people are saying, oh, shut up, don't say that. No, I promise you, this is going to be a blowout win in favor of Tennessee, and we're going to learn why, because we're going to dive into the Jaguar. It's going to be a little bit of a longer show, and I do apologize. I know yesterday's a little long, but when I get these good guests on, I want to hear more from them and less from me. So I'm going to try to talk less from me today and let you hear more from them, and so hopefully it won't be too long. But South Alabama resonates a little bit deeper for me, and I don't know how many of you guys follow me on Twitter at underscore Kaner, but I put the note out there earlier this week. And again, I'll try to be less about me, as I just pointed out, but I was once an employee of South Alabama. I never worked a day in my life for South Alabama. How does that work? I accepted a job prior to starting at the Sports Animal in the summer of 2017. I accepted a job down in South Alabama. I found an apartment. I signed a lease. I was heading to Mobile. And then I caught wind of an opening at the Sports Animal, looked into it, interviewed, thought that that's the place I was called to be and the place I was going to start my career. And I went ahead and made the move, and I joined the Sports Animal lineup, and I had to make the awkward conversation of telling South Alabama that I was not going to work there. That was back whenever I was just getting started. Shout out Carson Newman, Athletic Communications, Matthew Osborne, Michael Watring, Adam Cavalier, Mark and Sarah, Billy Meyer, all you guys. I was just coming off my run with Carson Newman after my undergraduate days. I spent 2 more years there, and I was I was a graduate assistant in the athletic communications department, and so I thought that was maybe an avenue for me. So I got a job at South Alabama, basically an SID job working with the basketball programs, and I worked a little bit with football, and I thought that was pretty neat. I'd do that for a couple years, and then I would see what my next stop was. And then I saw the position opening for the job at the radio station. I'm like, you know what? I already have radio experience and play-by-play. Talk radio, I've never done that, but I'd love to learn. That sounds like fun. I would rather be talking behind a mic and not having to sugarcoat everything. And so I was like, let me try that. And so I applied, got the job and all that, and I told South Alabama I couldn't come. So I was excited about going. I was excited about living in Mobile, living near the beach and all that, and starting my career down there, but I ended up never making it. So it's kind of weird how things work. And I was thinking earlier in the week, South Alabama, the Jaguars coming up to Neyland Stadium to play this weekend. I mean, how different would my life be? Not just career-wise, but my personal life. How different would it have been if I had went to Mobile? Would I have ever made it back to East Tennessee? I don't know, but it's interesting to think about. So needless to say, I've had this game circled on my calendar for a little while. You probably haven't, and I understand why. It's going to be just a drilling for Tennessee, but just a little backstory there behind the curtain, just a little intrigue, I guess, in case you were wondering. But, you know, South Alabama, we'll talk offense here, then we'll hit on defense, and we'll get to my conversation with Robert Boswell. Listen, it's a 5-5 football team, 2-5 in Sunbelt, okay? This is not a good football team. I continue to see people say South Alabama is better than people are going to give them credit for. South Alabama this. Hey, I get it. It's done some things in the Sun Belt this year, but it's a team that's won one in its last 4 opportunities. It's a team that's not won on the road since week 2, okay? It is not overall a good football team. It's just not. Defensively, there's a lot to like there, but offensively, it's just kind of middle of the pack, and especially now without its starting quarterback, Jake Bentley. Yes, that Jake Bentley, who has defeated Tennessee three times as the starting quarterback for South Carolina, who went on to play for, I want to say, Utah, and then he made another stop, and now he's at South Alabama finishing his career. Well, he tore his MCL in the first series of the Troy game back on November the 6th. He's not seen him since. He actually appeared at practice earlier this week in a limited fashion. He is still extremely questionable to go against Tennessee, but it's not been ruled out. But I would really not expect to see Jake Bentley out there at quarterback. So if it's not Jake Bentley, then who's it going to be? Well, it's going to be Desmond Trotter. He's a sophomore. He's more of a mobile quarterback than Jake Bentley. He's got 375 passing yards on the year, three touchdowns, three interceptions, but he's only completing 58% of his passes. When coming on in replace of Bentley in the Troy game back on November the 6th, he accounted for three touchdowns, but a week later, which is this last weekend's games, he threw two interceptions in a 31-7 loss at Appalachian State. So needless to say, it is a considerable step down for this Jaguars offense. It's a USA team that likes to motion all around. It likes to try to confuse the defense, get its eyes off those keys, and try to go that route. You've got Terrion Avery, who's a running back, has got 500 yards on the season, a touchdown, averaging 50 yards a game. You've got Jalen Tolbert, who's the best offensive player, leads the team with 65 receptions, 1,140 yards, six touchdowns. He's got a 1,000-yard receiving each of the last two seasons. You've got Jalen Wayne, 42 receptions, and freshman Colin Lottie, who's got 36 receptions. Those are your wide receivers. Your tight end is Lincoln Sufkick, 6'3", 235, 27 receptions, 200 yards, three touchdowns. And, you know, that's kind of your offensive personnel. It's an offense that likes to employ about three running backs in that rotation. Yeah, they spread it out. They motion things around. Josh Heupel says they do a lot of window dressing, trying to confuse you, but it's an offense that averages 26.4 points per game. 377 yards is total offense. They throw 250 yards a game. They rush for 127 yards a game. Now, remember, these numbers might be a little inflated because, again, Jake Bentley was the starting quarterback up until a week and a half ago, and he threw for over 2,100 yards, accounted for 19 total touchdowns, just five interceptions, completing 70% of his passes. Jake Bentley was a really good football player at this level. South Alabama is 34% on third downs on offensively. They possess the football a little over 32 minutes. They score 79% of the time in the red zone. Only 67% of the time are they scoring touchdowns. They have given up 21 sacks, and they have turned the football over 17 times. So opportunity for Tennessee's defense, especially with the sophomore Desmond Trotter in at quarterback, if it is indeed going to be Trotter, which I believe it will. Jake Bentley, again, torn MCL, didn't play last week, returned to practice this week in a very limited fashion. He will likely have to have surgery at some point. So that's a look at South Alabama offensively. Defensively, they're a lot better, but that's a Sun Belt competition. I will discuss that on the other side. Then we'll get into our conversation with Robert Boswell. But before we get into that, guys, Made In, coming back here to Locked On Vols. How does your favorite restaurant consistently make such delicious food? The short answer is, well, they have access to the right kitchen tools. With Made In's professional quality cookware and kitchenware, anyone is capable of making restaurant quality food at home. If you're serious about cooking, you should invest in your kitchen tools yourself. Made In's cookware and kitchenware products are used by thousands of the world's best chefs, and they're easily accessible here with Made In. Made In produces professionally quality cookware for those who love to cook. They source the finest materials and partner with renowned craftsmen to make premium kitchen tools available directly to you without the markup. Made In products are made to last, and they offer a lifetime guarantee. Their cookware distributes heat evenly, and they can easily go from the stovetop to the oven. They have 40,000 five-star reviews, and their products are used by some of the world's best chefs at the Michelin-starred restaurants around the world. Made In, better cookware for better meals. So right now, Made In is offering our listeners 15% off your first order with the promo code Locked On. This is the best discount available anywhere online for Made In products. So go to madeincookware.com/lockedon. Use the promo code Locked On for 15% off your first order. That's madeincookware.com/lockedon. Use the promo code Locked On. All right, we're back for segment number two of a Thursday Locked On Balls. Don't forget, Locked On Perspectives, Robert Boswell. He'll be joining us here in segment number three. Can't wait to hear from him. And as always, thanks so much for making Locked On Balls your first listen. So, talking a little bit about the Jaguars of South Alabama. Of course, in 2020, they were 4-7. Now here in 2021, coached by first-year head coach Kane Walmack. He's the former defensive coordinator here a couple years ago. Here, I mean, South Alabama. And again, 5-5 is the record, 2-5 in Sunbelt Conference play. They have not won since October the 30th. They've lost two in a row from at Troy and at Appalachian State. Haven't won on the road since week two at Bowling Green. And the offense is so-so. Well, the defense is pretty solid for the Sun Belt. In fact, it's one of the best defenses in the Sun Belt Conference, averaging just 23 points per game given up. All right, they give up just a total of 320 yards the other way, 201 yards through the air, 119 yards on the ground. So really solid stuff there in the Sun Belt for this defense. They average just giving up 16 first downs per game, which is really, really good. 64 plays the other way. This defense is 32% on third downs, 63% on fourth downs. So Tennessee likes to go for it on fourth down. They've stopped opponent offenses only, I guess, 7 times on fourth down on 19 opportunities. They're 12 of 19, so that's something that works in Tennessee's favor for sure. They are usually on the field for a little over 27 minutes per game. They're solid in the red zone, and they're good at getting takeaways. They have 14 interceptions on the season, and they have recovered 8 fumbles, so that is 22 takeaways. So this is an aggressive defense that's, you know, top to bottom, very, very sharp. It is multiple, like most defenses are. They usually are in some type of odd man front, and they employ a ton of linebackers. You've got the junior A.J. DeShenzor, who leads the way with 46 tackles. You've got another linebacker in Quentin Wilfon, who has 45 tackles, 2.5 TFLs, a sack, a fumble recovery, a forced fumble. That's all in 9 games. Overall, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players who have at least 40 tackles on the season. So they spread the wealth around a little bit. Again, you continue to look at the inside linebackers. Trey Kizer is also a guy that rotates in there. You've got Jamal Brooks, who rotates in there, who has a sack, an interception, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. These guys like to stuff the stat sheets. On the outside, at outside linebacker, they like the bigger, more athletic guys. Chris Henderson, 25 tackles, 3 TFLs, 2 sacks, a fumble recovery. You've got Sean Jennings, 24 tackles, 3 TFLs, a pair of sacks, and 2 forced fumbles. Both of those guys weigh 230 pounds. You've got a 240-pounder lining up on the outside at linebacker named Christian Bell. He's got 2.5 sacks and 4 TFLs on the season. So they like guys to run sideline to sideline on the inside where they employ a lot of linebacker play. They like the bigger guys on the edge to set the edge and then get into the backfield and rush the passer, of course. You've got on the front line, Wakivius Thomas, the redshirt freshman, leads the team with 5 TFLs from the interior. You've got Charles Coleman III, who has 3 sacks. That leads the team. That's tied for the team lead. You got Brock Higdon, who is 6'7", 245 pounds, who plays a little bit on the outside. He's a guy that likes to get his hands up and disrupt the quarterback throwing, of course. You've got Janarius Johnson, who is a routine starter for this defensive line, as well as Jamal Higbottom, who has a pair of sacks on the season as well. So those are the guys that rotate in on the defensive line for South Alabama. In the secondary, Keith Gilmore Jr. is a staff sheet stuffer, as I would say, 44 tackles, 2.5 TFLs, and an interception. He is 3rd on the team in tackles. You got the strong safety Yam Banks, who has 2 forced fumbles. That ties for a team high. You've got cornerbacks Daryl Luter Jr., who has 4 interceptions. That is easily the team high. So Luter Jr. is a guy that Tennessee will need to look out for. He also have 10 pass breakups on the season. You got Devin Roquette, who has 2 interceptions at cornerback as well. Another cornerback that rotates in there is Dylan Flynn-Lord. He has an interception on the season. And free safety Sean Stellett also has an interception on the season. So an aggressive secondary that benefits from a pretty decent pass rush up front for this South Alabama team. It's a team that has 24 sacks on the season as well. So they're getting back there, they're disrupting the passes, and they're forcing turnovers on the back end. Will that equate to a Tennessee defense or Tennessee offense? I don't think so. They're not going to see anything like what they're going to see, or they haven't seen anything so far this year like what they're going to see on Saturday. Tennessee's high-octane, up-tempo offense, a team that snaps the football almost three times in the span of a minute, a team that runs the football efficiently, a team that throws with an efficient quarterback in Hendon Hooker, and some playmakers on the edge. We'll see about Javonte Payton, but Velus Jones, and of course, Cedric Tillman. It's a solid defense. It's a defense that needs to be respected, but it ain't nothing compared to what Tennessee's going to do to it, in my opinion, on Saturday with this offense. So that is a look at the Jaguars defensively, a solid unit, again, one of the best units in the Sun Belt Conference. So that is your preview for South Alabama personnel-wise. I'll give you my keys to the game tomorrow, and we're also going to have on a beat writer from the South Alabama beat. But first, before we get into my chat with Robert Boswell of Walked On Perspective, let's get back to Bet Online. Back and better than ever, a new web interface for the start of basketball season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head on over to the new updated desktop or mobile website. Sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, it is the fastest, it is the easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. I want to welcome onto the show Robert Boswell. He is a former Tennessee walk-on football player and host of the Walk-On Perspective. It is a podcast that uniquely dives into the lives of student-athletes who are walk-ons, specifically at the college football level. Robert, what's up, man?
I'm good, Eric. How are you?
Doing really well. Appreciate you taking the time. And you've got a really, really unique story. I caught your you've been doing this podcast for a couple months now. I caught your debut episode the other day, and very, very intrigued. But for those listening right now that might not know of Walked On Perspective or know anything about you, briefly give us kind of your background and what led you to start this podcast.
Yeah, thank you for asking. I started the podcast, as you mentioned, just a few months ago. We're still in our early stages, trying to grow, trying to become the behemoth that Locked On Balls has become. As a testament to your hard work and dedication.
Appreciate
but
that.
I started this, full disclosure, a little bit of background for our listeners out there. I'm a physical therapist during the day, but I'd always had a passion for giving fellow walk-ons like myself a platform to be able to share their unique stories or their perspective, if you will. Walk-ons, we see and hear a lot. We know where the skeletons are buried. We aren't used to having media coverage, people putting a microphone in front of us, being asked questions. So giving a platform to the walk-on athletes, they're willing to talk, what I've realized very quickly. And it's kind of a unique fraternity across the entire country, especially in a world now in today post-pandemic where everybody has been more connected via the cloud. I call it Cloudlandia and via Zoom. And I found there's this unique brotherhood amongst all of us, and coming together and providing a platform where I'm getting to know these players, both current and former walk-ons at these respective institutions, where due to their makeup or their character or their drive or whatever it is, they've been able to carve out meaningful roles on their teams, a lot of whom have gone on to earn a scholarship and become major players on the college football landscape. It's fascinating getting to learn these players and their personalities. I'm just having a blast doing it.
Yeah, and you've been getting some pretty good guests on the show already. I saw a couple weeks ago you got former Tennessee head coach and AD Philip Fulmer, who was your, I guess he was your boss, right, when you were working as a pretty much a student intern before you walked onto the football team. Who else have you gotten on your show already?
Yeah, we had an opportunity to catch up with Coach Fulmer. It had been quite a while since I had met with him and talked with him. Last I had seen him was at the FCA banquet in Hendersonville, Tennessee, back in 2013. So it had been a long time coming, but it was good catching up with Coach. As you mentioned, I was just a student volunteer for his staff back in 2008, my junior year at University of Tennessee. And for our listeners who want a little bit more in detail, probably more than what we have time to do today, they can go back and listen to my introduction episode of our show, hearing about how that whole journey unfolded. But yeah, I just did various things for that staff, just breaking down offensive tape for upcoming opponents, breaking things down by situations, tendencies, down and distance. And then I do various tasks throughout that season, like going and grabbing ice cream for the coaches or cutting up recruiting film, whatever it was. They would ask me to do it and I would do it. But then when the coaching change happened after that year, I saw it as an opportunity to walk on, impress the new staff who didn't know who was good and who wasn't, and was fortunate enough to have earned that opportunity. But you had asked me, Eric, about other guests that we've had on the show. One of the early episodes that we had was just, and not, this is not to downplay anybody else's, but just one of the most amazing stories I've heard. There's a young man, Talon Litzy, who is a defensive back at Illinois, who, if you aren't familiar with his story, he actually was living in his car outside of the stadium, just yeah, waiting for an opportunity to make the team. Not only did he make the team, but went on to earn a scholarship and is now just an amazing success story for young athletes across the country. That's just one example of some of the stories that we've been able to fortunately hear on our show.
Yeah, we got Robert Boswell on. He's the host of the Walk-On Perspective. And just like you said, the quick introductory debut episode that was the first one you put out a couple months ago, if you want to get more familiarized with this podcast, give it a listen. It is just 15 minutes. I listened to it the other day on my way to work, and it gives his unique, Robert's unique backstory. And there's a lot of good stuff in there and a lot of questions I want to ask you, but we simply just don't have time for it. But I want to ask you about this. You know, you mentioned walk-ons being kind of like a fraternity, and I couldn't agree more. It's you got to put in twice the amount of work. You get no attention. You get no playing time, essentially. You get no media attention, but you're there every single day, scout team. You don't get to travel a lot of the times. Whenever you see a walk-on get put on scholarship and you see ESPN and everything, they make a big deal of it now, which is pretty cool. When you see those stories, how does that make you feel? And obviously being a former walk-on and being in the life and in their shoes of these current student-athletes?
Great question. We call that the holy grail of walk-on success stories.
I like it.
All of that hard work, that long shot finally culminating in that special moment. And everybody sees it. The videos typically go viral. It's usually in a practice setting, either before or afterwards, where the coach is addressing the team and then surprises the young man and announces in a big fashion that young man X has been placed on scholarship, and then they're tackled by their teammates, they're knocked over the head, they're doused with water, and it's just this amazing ride and this flow of emotion. And it's really been amazing to get to rehash those moments when I'm talking to these players weeks and sometimes months after that event had unfolded, and getting to hear both what that meant for them, what type of confidence booster that was, how it definitely made it worthwhile. It's an amazing story and one that needs to be told.
Yeah, and two things. When that happens, of course, financially, it helps you, it helps your family. But more than financially, because a lot of times these walk-ons get a junior or senior year, so it's not like they got it all 4 years, but it helps a little bit. But more than that, it's I made it. I accomplished this goal. I am a Division I, Division II, Division III, whatever the case may be. I am a scholarship athlete, and it's just got to be such an amazing feeling. So, you know, outside of that, how many episodes per week? Where can we find this podcast, and what more can we look forward to diving into this podcast each and every week with you?
Yeah, thank you for asking. As of right now, we're just doing one episode a week. We publish our episodes on Wednesdays. I try to have it as early as possible on a Wednesdays for those individuals like you and I who are up at before the rooster crows, yeah, getting stuff done for the day. As of right now, I've got enough content for the next so many months ready to go, but as you well know, the process of editing and marketing and all of that, it's just very time-consuming. And for me with everything else I've got going on. One episode a week is really all I can commit to at this time. For those listeners out there who probably just aren't as familiar with the process, I feel like, you know, I include myself in this, the Locked On Vols listenership, we're actually very fortunate and probably takes for granted everything that you do, Eric. I mean, to provide not only good content, but good content each and every day. What a task. And then having to go and do the editing and all that, we really probably don't take the time to thank you for what we get to enjoy every morning. And it even probably goes further than that. Getting to go from Josh Ward to Eric Kane, we probably take for granted even more. I use the analogy, it's a lot like how the Green Bay Packers have gone from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. they don't know what it's like to not have a Hall of Fame quarterback. And I really love what y'all been able to do, keeping Josh Ward in the fold with Ward Wednesdays. I look forward to it every week. So having done it myself, I wanted to take the time to acknowledge, you know, what you're doing is really impressive, and just wanted to, on behalf of all of your listenership, just thank you for your hard work.
Dude, thank you so much for saying that, man. The honor is it's all mine. It's a privilege, and it's as you know now, it's a joy, and it's something you get a lot out of. So it is a lot of work. It's so funny too, because I mean, you know, talk about a microphone that comes easy, right? It's the programming, then it's the producing, then it's the uploading and the sharing and scheduling, but man, it's always so worth it. So I can't thank you enough for saying that, and of course comparing me to the weirdo Aaron Rodgers. But anyway, I want to ask you one other thing before we let you go. Tennessee has, well, two other things, I'm sorry. Tennessee has a not your average walk-on, Grant Furking. He is a business owner. He is coming to a lot of money already, and he is a leader in the name, image, and likeness sector that is now engulfing college athletics. You know, and I know you guys have a relationship and you've been a resource for him. How cool is it that, I mean, I think when we look back years down the line, Grant Furking's going to be a name that we remember for a long time because, again, he's a leader for the college athletes in NIL. How unique is it that he is right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, and a part of this volunteer program?
It's an amazing testament to Grant's character, his drive. He is one of the most impressive young men that I've come to know. You mentioned we've fostered a relationship. I had him on our show. For the listeners out there who want to listen to that, they can go back and find that on, you know, all of our different platforms. Grant's story is amazing, what he's been able to accomplish, starting his own company, Metro Straw, at 15, and what he's managing right now between being a Haslam College of Business student, a full-time college football player, still as the CEO of his company that he is running remotely out of Atlanta, and then additionally what he has done with the NILU program that he has partnered with On3 Sports, that Shannon Terry, who started 24/7 Sports, has done and is growing into this behemoth. I want all of our listeners to take a moment and lean in close. Grant Furking, don't miss this. Grant Furking is going to be one of the most instrumental players and power brokers in college athletics for years to come, and is a name that you need to familiarize yourself with.
What's your overall thought process on Josh Heupel in year number one? I think, of course, you're a former Vol. You have you're a major, you know, player in the program now. You're a fan. You know, what's your thoughts on where this program is heading to after year one with Josh Heupel?
Yeah, thank you for asking. I had the unique opportunity, Eric, back in fall camp. I actually went to the first Saturday scrimmage. It was closed to the media. They were gracious in allowing former players to come and just kind of catch up and get to meet some of the staff. Unfortunately, I didn't get an opportunity to meet Coach Heupel, but I got to talk to some of the players, some of the familiar faces that were there when I was there, which are very few now and nowadays. But what they said to me and the way that they described the culture gave me such a boost of confidence coming into the season. And now, having seen the success and the enjoyment that we as Tennessee fans are getting out of the season, it really backs up what they were saying back in the fall. Josh Heupel lives it. He truly, I mean, we all watch the videos before the season about, you know, needing to spend time together, fostering relationships, and how that's going to ultimately culminate to success on the field. And we are now seeing that. We all probably rolled our eyes when he would joke about how playing dodgeball was going to help us beat Alabama or be competitive in the fourth quarter against Georgia. Well, you're starting to see the fruits of those labors. Josh Heupel truly does have a special culture at Tennessee, and nobody in the program is going to come out and say this, but I have no problem coming out and say this. They are putting the rest of the SEC on notice, because in 3 or 4 years, when recruiting catches up to obviously the culture that they are establishing, Tennessee is going to be back. It's a matter of when, not if. I like to joke with people, Tennessee is, it's a lot like Mount Vesuvius, right? Like, it sat dormant for a long time, and it never went extinct. The potential was always there, and one of these days, it's going to erupt, and it's going to leave carnage across the land, and I can't wait to see it, and I think Josh Heupel is the perfect man to do it.
I love it. I love it. All right, his name is Robert Boswell. He is a former Tennessee football walk-on. Now he's the host of the Walk On Perspective. You can listen to this podcast by finding it on Twitter at Walk On Perspective. It's on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. There's a YouTube channel. He has his own website. A really, really awesome listen, and something that you guys need to check out every single Wednesday. It's the Walk On Perspective. Hey, man, thanks so much for joining the show, and we've got to have you back on soon, okay?
I'd love it. Eric, thank you again for your time. Keep rocking and rolling with what you're doing, and I will be a faithful listener here and moving forward.
It was really great catching up with Robert, meeting him, and hearing his story. Again, I encourage you to listen to that debut episode to get a real general feel of what that podcast is going to be about. It's one day a week, so you need to listen to it outside of listening here to Locked On Vols. But great stuff there, and we're going to hear from him a couple more times, certainly throughout the offseason, but a Locked On Vols family member, and I appreciate him for joining the show. Great, great stuff. All right, that'll do it here for a Thursday Locked On Vols. Can't thank you enough for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Now for your second listen of the day, let's go to Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. Check out Locked On Bets. Guys, we will have a local beat guy preview for South Alabama. We will hear from another special guest, and I'll give you my keys to the game for Tennessee and South Alabama. That's coming up tomorrow on a Friday show. But until then, guys, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.